The name of my message today is The Lamb of God. First, I want to set the scene for you. It's in Bethany here. And if I can find Bethany here on the map, there's Jerusalem, and right down below it there is Bethany. And Bethany, as you can see, is very close to the northern shore of the Dead Sea, but Jesus is going to be baptized here, right at the top where the Jordan River goes into the Dead Sea there. That's where we are told he was baptized by John. And so John is on the banks of the Jordan, and he's speaking, and some of the Pharisees from Jerusalem, which is only 2 miles away, came down to hear about this man who was getting all this publicity everybody was talking about. And if you'll turn to the Gospel of John, to the first chapter of the Gospel of John, John the Baptist made a stunning, incredible statement. John 1:29 of the Gospel of John, first chapter. John said this: "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" And then dropping down to 35, the next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now, this is incredible when you stop to think about it, because Jesus was just beginning his ministry, and John is calling him the Lamb of God. What does this reveal about John the Baptist? What did he know? Because by calling him the Lamb of God, it's obvious that he understood that Jesus would one day become a sacrifice. He understood that he would be a sacrifice, not just any sacrifice, but the ultimate sacrifice that would be able to take away the sin in the whole world. However, even though John was a prophet, there was one thing that even he could not see. He couldn't see the church. He couldn't see the age of grace, and neither could the Old Testament prophets. He spoke about the coming kingdom. He did speak about that, what we now look forward to as the millennial kingdom, and then eventually the eternal earthly kingdom. He did speak about that. He thought that Jesus was going to usher in this kingdom, though, in his time, in his day. In Luke chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, it says this: "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet," and this is John the Baptist speaking, "the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God.'" He's quoting Isaiah chapter 40. And in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5, it says this: "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." If you've ever seen Handel's Messiah, this is one of the songs, the selections, "The Glory of the Lord." And so that kind of coincides with "all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." So we know that John understood then. He understood that Jesus, to be the ultimate sacrifice for sin, he understood that. And he understood that that meant that Jesus would have to die. But he also believed that he was going to rule in this kingdom. I believe that John thought that Jesus would be resurrected, and then at that time establish his kingdom. Or perhaps establish his kingdom and then offer himself up as a sacrifice. Somehow, he believed that Jesus would be able to accomplish both things. Because by saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," and then talk about the coming kingdom. Now compare this with what the disciples believed. They did not foresee the death of Jesus. They did not understand his role as the Lamb of God. He said, "I'm going to the cross," and they didn't like that. They did not think that he would die, but that he would set up his kingdom right then and there. But again, you see, the disciples didn't see the church coming either at that time. But getting back to John, he must have thought all along that he would get to join Jesus in the kingdom that he was going to set up. You see, he knew that Jesus had incredible, unstoppable power, and that Jesus could do whatever he wanted. So he most likely felt that Jesus would bust him out of prison. Remember, John was in prison because he had criticized Herod for marrying his brother's wife. But as time went by and Jesus did not attempt to get him out, John sent his disciples with a message. And that message is in Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds Christ had done, he sent his disciples to ask a question. Are you the one who's to come, or should we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go tell John what you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news proclaimed to them. Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Now, apparently, Jesus was not measuring up to John's expectations. Why was he going around all the towns preaching and teaching and healing instead of putting together a great army to defeat the Romans so he could prepare to set up the kingdom? What he couldn't understand is that Jesus was preparing a kingdom. He was preparing a kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, that would one day become a physical one, the church, the body of Christ. John may have even thought that Jesus would set up his physical kingdom before he voluntarily would offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. In any case, John did acknowledge that Jesus was to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the fact that he knew that, the fact that the Holy Spirit revealed that to him when Jesus was just beginning his ministry is incredible. You know, the fact that Jesus is the Lamb of God escapes the thinking of so many people, including his disciples back then. Not recognizing this causes them to misunderstand who he is. And misunderstanding who he is leads to erroneous expectations of him. Many believe he was a good teacher with some nice moral instruction or maybe a good religious leader, but certainly not God himself. And certainly not the Lamb of God who would sacrifice himself for the sins of the world. You see, these people do not realize that he and he alone qualified to be the perfect, unblemished sacrifice for your sin and mine. Jesus Christ was the human embodiment of the Passover lamb. Most do not make the connection between the Passover lamb described in Exodus and the ultimate Passover lamb. If you'll turn to Exodus chapter 12. We're going to read about the Passover lamb. Exodus chapter 12, beginning in the first verse. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month is to be your beginning of months. It will be your first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel, in the 10th day of this month, they each must take a lamb for themselves, according to their families, a lamb for each household. If any household is too small for a lamb, the man and his next door neighbor are to take a lamb according to the number of people. You'll make your count for the lamb according to how much each can eat. Your lamb must be perfect, a male, 1 year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You must care for it until the 14th day of the month, and then the whole community of Israel will kill it around sundown. They will take some of the blood and put it on the two side posts and on top of the door frame of the houses where they will eat it. They will eat the meat that same night. They will eat it roasted over the fire and bread made without yeast and with bitter herbs. Do not eat it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, its legs, and its entrails. You must leave nothing until morning, but you must burn with fire whatever remains of it until morning. This is how you are to eat it, dressed to travel, your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. You are to eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I will pass through the land of Egypt in the same night, and I will attack all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both of humans and of animals, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, so that when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and this plague will not fall on you to destroy you when I attack the land of Egypt. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and told them, go and select for yourselves a lamb or young goat for your families and kill the Passover animals. Take a branch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and apply it to the top of the door frame and the two side posts, some of the blood that is in the basin. Not one of you is to go out the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike Egypt. And when he sees the blood on the top of the door frame and the two side posts, then the Lord will pass over the door, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. Dropping down to verse 46. It must be eaten in one house. You must not bring any of the meat outside the house, and you must not break a bone of it. Jesus was the Passover lamb. Remember when he was on the cross and there were those two thieves on either side of him, and it was getting toward evening, and the Jews wanted them down off the cross and in the tombs before evening, and their day started in the evening. So before the Sabbath day, they wanted all this taken care of, because when the Sabbath hit, you could do very little work. And so all three men, they thought, were still alive. And so to hasten their death so they could get him down off the cross, they decided to break their legs. And they went to the one thief and they broke his legs. And they went to the other thief and they broke his legs. And the reason they did this is because they were on the cross and they had their legs like this and a spike driving through both ankles. And the only way they could breathe was to push up and expand their diaphragm, but they had to push with their legs in order to expand the diaphragm. By breaking their legs, they couldn't push anymore, and their breathing would be over very quickly. But when they went to Jesus to break his legs, they noticed that he had already died, so they did not break his legs, just like the Passover lamb. Just as the death angel passed over those who consumed the lamb and spread its blood on the doorpost, just as a death angel passed over them, so the spiritual death angel will pass over all those who claim the ultimate Passover lamb as their Savior and intercessor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blood on the doorpost became the blood on the cross. And that blood protects us from the due judgment on sin. So by us engaging in communion, we are remembering this most important relationship, that Jesus Christ is indeed the Passover lamb. And by eating the bread and drinking from the cup, we are actually enacting and we are identifying with those who took part in that very first Passover meal. But in their case, where their physical lives were spared, having the blood of Jesus cover us and become our righteousness for us, we have our spiritual lives spared. And we are made free to worship him and to be his children. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for John the Baptist, for inspiring him to be able to say that statement. Even as Jesus was just beginning his ministry, we thank you that the Holy Spirit revealed this to him, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you can help us to remember, to appreciate the wonderful blessing that we have, and the fact that our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross for us. And help us to have the great appreciation for that, and help us to have the yearning to share this wonderful news with others. In Jesus' name, amen.